Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you. Us to accomplish. So Lord, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And like I said, last week we ended the walk of faith, and we're going to start a lesson on relationships. But we're going to do it's going to be a different type of relationship lesson. It's going to be the relationships and submission. So, did somebody say, "Uh-oh"? That's most of the time we have the wrong idea of submission. So we're gonna try to unfold or unravel what really it means to submit, because unfortunately we beat up people, and you know, the honesty, we beat up women with submission. And submission is not a female male thing; it's a body thing. Everybody in the body is required to submit. Amen? So hopefully we can bring some light on that. So the first thing is, God requires us to be in submission to his will and his authority. Everything that happened from the beginning of creation until now has been centered around the issue of whether we will submit to God, his kingdom, or his system of authority, or whether we will submit to our own or the devil's system of authority. It's just that simple. That's what the fight is all about. Even if you go into the political arena now, the political arena is about who is going to follow the things that God has set in order or the things that people want to set in order. You know, over and over again, we keep getting the gay marriage vote, right? And citizens continue to reject that. They say, no, we don't want that. But it keeps coming back up, because there's still an element of our society that says, no, that is just not something that we want to get behind. But the world system, the enemy, the devil, wants to get that in because he wants us to submit to his way, his will, right? I don't know if you guys followed the last election, but on many ballots, and lately we see that they are trying to legalize marijuana. In California, they had a vote to legalize marijuana. Everybody always says, yeah, well, you know, marijuana, you know, all you do is laugh and joke and giggle and snicker and just eat a lot. That's all marijuana does, right? But what marijuana really does is it takes the drive away from you. It puts you in a sense of stupor where you don't have any incentive to do anything. And we have to start being very sensitive when the establishment, everybody say establishment, wants to put people in a stupor, because that tells me that they're out to control us for some reason. See, if a lot of people are just smoking weed and getting high, if I can get my weed, I'm okay. Right? Or if I can just, and we all know weed is just kind of a gateway drug. I mean, you know, you get high on marijuana for a little while, and sooner or later, the high is not enough. So you got to graduate, right? Am I right? We all know that. It's like people think that we don't know that. And they talk like we don't know that, but we all know that. And we justify, but what I'm saying, I say this to say that the world is trying to change the authority that God instituted in the earth to an authority that is outside the realm or the will of God, and they want us to do man's will, the devil's will, and not God's will. And this is what the battle is all about. So the question is, who are we going to submit to? Amen? You know, there's an old song that says you're going to have to serve somebody. You guys remember that old song? You're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil. It may be the Lord. But you're going to serve somebody. You guys don't know that old song? You heard that? See, and that's what we're all about. And being sensitive to, and this is why it's so important for us to spend time in the Word and get what the Word says about every arena of life so that we're not deceived by these subtle things that the world comes in to try to change just a little bit. Just a little bit. And so, but that has to do with the issue of submission to somebody's authority. So first we want to start talking about submission in the context of our relationship with God. So of course, submission is defined as the act of submitting, usually surrendering power to another, the condition of having submitted to control by someone or something else. And there's this quote there, his submission to the will of God, meekness, the feeling of patience. Everybody say patience, because that's where really the struggle of the body is being patient. The submissiveness and humbleness. See, in order to submit, it requires humility. Requires it. Because that means that the one you are submitting to, you are giving them rights over you. And that's why the ultimate context of submission starts with God. And then it's so important because we have to understand and we have to see God as the ultimate benefactor, and benefactor meaning that he is there to benefit us and not to harm us. But because all of us have had some kind of a bad relationship where trust has been an issue, it is a very tough thing to submit or surrender to God. And of course, it doesn't help that we can't see him on a regular basis, right? So we're submitting by faith, but faith takes trust. Faith and trust really are synonyms of each other. You have to trust somebody to have faith in them. Okay? So we're required to trust God and submit to him. But the challenge is, and reason why many of us in the body have trouble trusting God or trusting that everything that God requires us to do is good for us, is because we all have been betrayed. And so even though we want to believe that everything God has for me is right and good, because I don't always can't always see it, I hold back and say, God, I'm gonna have to just, can I wait on that one for a while? Because I'm afraid to trust in that area. Anybody ever been there before? All of us, because God is a supernatural God, whenever he asks us to do supernatural or enter into the realm of the supernatural, right away we get apprehensive or fearful. Because the supernatural realm is not a realm that we operate in. We live in the sense realm, okay? God lives in the spirit realm. And I'll give you an example. And then we'll get to some scriptures here. If you are given a word of knowledge, everybody knows the gift of the spirits, right? The word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is where God gives you a word about a certain person, a situation, or a circumstance. And let's say you get a word of knowledge about a person. You don't know the person. You don't know anything about the person. And you don't even know if the person is a believer. So God gives you a word which is a spiritual thing. And now you're required to, by faith, everybody say, by faith, act on the word he gave you about that person. And what do we do? And I've been just as guilty as anybody sitting here, so I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody because I've done this. You get the word, and God says, say this to so-and-so, and you say, what? You want me to tell them that? And we fight it. Because we're not sure that we can trust it. We're not sure if we're right, and we don't want to be a false prophet and say something that's wrong and all this. But in order to be a prophet, using the gifts, you have to step out on faith and believe that God gave you the word that you're about to give. And there are times when we say it and it's wrong. That's going to scare more than all that. That's why, exactly why I don't step out. But then what God does, he teaches you how to hear better the next time. Are you with me here? It's just like exercise. How many were able to do 100 push-ups or can do 100 push-ups just by just hitting it? Get down there and most of us can't. But if you work out a while, you can work up to 100 push-ups, right? But it's same with the faith realm. The first time you hear it, you're not sure. You walk out, you step out, and they say, well, you know, kind of, sort of, not sure if it's fully, but the next time you get it, you step out and you're a little more bold. You say, okay, Father, I'm going to just go ahead and do it. It's not on me. I'm going to say the word that I believe that you gave me. And the more you do it, the more you hear and the more accurate the words come. And I don't know how everybody gets words. Some words come in just one word. He'll say, fear. Some people get pictures. You see a picture of someone. Some get a whole sentence. But whatever God gives you to say, we have to step out on faith. And that is an example of submitting to the leading of the Spirit. Are you guys with me here? So this is what let's go to Matthew chapter 26, 39, 50 through 52. And this is how we see how submission is required from everybody in the body, including, everybody say, including Jesus. Including Jesus. And let's look at this. And this is the hour of what we call the Garden of Gethsemane, or the Great Temptation. I don't know what it's called in some places. But let's look at chapter 26, verses 39 and then 50 and 52. 39 is when he's in the garden praying. And he says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Okay, now if it stopped there, we wouldn't have anything to learn, right? But he says, what does he say after that? Nevertheless, not what? As I will, but as you will. So what is Christ doing in this particular passage? He's submitting to the ultimate plan of God, which is his death. Now he's trying to fit, you know, in his flesh, the human side of him is crying out, maybe there's a different way. But the spirit man in him says, no, but not your will, not my will, but his will be done. And then you jump to verse 50 and 52 through 52, and we see another example of where Jesus could exercise authority if he chose to. And it goes this way, but Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish with the sword. And let's go to 54. Down to 54. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? So what's Jesus saying here? Huh? What is he saying in that passage? If he wanted to, he could get out of this. That's what he's saying. 12 legion of angels would be sufficient enough to do away with everybody standing in that garden. it wouldn't be any trouble. And he could have walked out and nobody would have arrested him. All these things, you know, he'd have been safe. So he's telling Peter, look, Peter, I don't need you to protect me. You know, we know that this is Peter, right? The scripture tells us that this is Peter. And it's just like Peter, though, isn't it? He's ready to do it anytime, any place, anywhere. He's probably had his, those scaling knives, just pull it out and start cutting folk. Anyway, but the point is, Jesus could have stopped it, but he was doing what? Surrendering to, submitting to the will of God that he would have to be crucified. He had the ability, and this is where submission is a willing, everybody say willing, relinquishment of your power. You cannot make people submit, because if they do it against their will, they're not submitting. It might be a surrender, but they're not submitting. And the way that we've taught submission in the church, it don't matter what happens, you got to submit. You got to submit. You got to do. No, that's not what the scriptures teach. The scripture teaches you submit to a trusting God. And ultimately, our submission is pointed to God, even though it's done to people. Are you with me on that? It goes to God, but it also will affect our relationships with people. And this is why the message is about relationships and submission. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 through 17. And we can see that in the beginning, the principle of authority, or the principle of submission to authority, was established from the very beginning. Everybody say from the beginning. See, then this is the thing about God. His methods really have not changed. That's why the scripture says, I'm God and I haven't changed. I change not. And you can see it, how he interacts with Adam from the beginning, what his plan is still to this day. So let's look at verse 16 and 17, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, I know we've dealt with this passage in so many different contexts, but let's look at it in the context of submission, okay? So Adam and God, are they in relationship at this point? God knows Adam. Adam knows God. You think Adam can trust God? Yeah, he's proven himself trustworthy. Adam is not like us, marred, scarred, and bruised and battered. He doesn't have all these bad memories of the past. he has no bad father relationships that's blamed, you know. He doesn't have any of that. And God gives him a commandment, and he has to do what? He has to do what? Now, he sees this commandment. He says, but if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you will surely die. So now he has to make a choice, a willing choice, to do what? Submit to that command. Based on what? His relationship, his ability to trust, and his knowing that God is faithful to his word. Now, how do we trust God? Because he's faithful, he's trustworthy, and he is looking out for our best interest. So you see how in the beginning, the same standards for trust are today. Now, the difference is, of course, we have all the bad track records. We have the, you know, the betrayal by friends, the betrayal by loved ones, the betrayal, you name it, we've got it, right? So we have to get out all of the baggage, but the baggage doesn't preempt us or prevent us, or it doesn't act as an excuse. Everybody say it's not an excuse to not submit to God, because God has not changed. I am the Lord, and I have not changed. I'm still faithful. I still care for you. I'm still looking out for you. I'm still trustworthy. All that stuff is just the devil trying to blind and cloud the picture. But I, look to me. Look at me. And don't look at what happened. Look at me. And see how faithful I am. Amen? And see, that's the challenge, that we have to see God even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our weakness, even in the midst of our shortcomings, even in the midst of our inabilities. We've got to see that God is still trustworthy. And he can make us more than we could ever imagine we could be made into. And see, that's where we really stumble, because so many of us ask ourselves, how could God use me? After all that I've been through, and all the stuff I've had to go through, and all the bad relationships, the bad decisions I've made, all the stuff, how can he still care enough to use me? And the devil jumps on that bandwagon. He says, yeah, you're right. What is he going to use you for? You're not worth being used. You messed up so many times, there's not even a place for you in heaven. And that's what he tries to convince us. But God says, look, I've not only made a place for you, it's prepared just for you. Isn't that great? I mean, he didn't just throw up a, you know how those houses in the suburbs, they just throw them all, they all look alike, you know. Maybe one porch is on this side, another porch on this side, but the houses are what they call cookie cutter houses. But God doesn't do cookie cutter stuff. He makes it just for you. And that's how much he cares about us. And the devil's trying to tell us, God doesn't care. God doesn't, and there's nothing you can do to make God. He cared enough to send Jesus to bring us back to him. And that's what we have to see in God. He's bigger. Now let's keep going from Genesis 2:16. Let's go to Genesis 3:2-10, when the fall happens. So we had the decision that he had to make to submit to God's authority, right? And we all know he failed the test, right? So this is what happens. Now notice that Adam still had to submit to something in the fall. And let's look what God does. He says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden. Now let's skip that part. Yeah, let's start at verse 10. So it says, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now that sounds like all of us, right? We were afraid. And he said, who told you you were naked? And he goes into that, and then he jumps down to, let's go to 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, and what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman he says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desires shall be for your husband, and he shall what? Now the word rule over you there is, and you shall have to submit to him. So you see that God did not remove authority even in the fall. And let's go see what happens to Adam. It says, then Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it, and all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat your bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. So what is he saying here? Adam, now you're going to have to submit to the ground. You're going to be in submission to, or you're going to be under the authority of the crops that you have to eat. You're going to have to struggle to get a, make, to scratch out a living or be able to eat. So he goes from being able to eat whatever he wants to, that's what the command said, you can eat anything you want to now you're going to have to struggle. And he says, and not only going to struggle, there's going to be some times when you plant and it's going to bring up thorns and thistles, or in our modern vernacular, sticker bushes. Sticker bushes, you don't have to plant sticker bushes. I have sticker bushes on my hill. I got sticker bushes behind my fence, and I didn't give up on the ones behind the fence. They get so high, it's like, you know what, that ain't my property. But the ones that are on the side of the fence, every summer I got to get out there and I got to cut them down. And no matter how many I cut out, dig up, throw away, put away, bury, burn, next year they're back. And I tell Addis all the time, I say, you know, doing yard work is the most futile job you do as a person. No matter how many times you cut the grass, you got to cut it again. And it's like, I hate yard work. But I say, I guess that, but every time I eat, I got to eat tomorrow. So I guess it's kind of like the cycle of life, right? So we see that now we're subject to, or we're, let me put it in these terms, we're at the expense of what the ground is able to yield. That will determine whether we eat or not. Do you catch this? So we're under the authority of the ground, or we're at the expense of the ground. Now, we still have the relationship with God, but there is some things that we still are subject to. Now, I believe this part of that curse was actually removed by Noah and the flood, because we all know that the world of the Adam and Eve did not exist after the flood, right? Everybody knows that, right? We had a new ecosystem, if you will. So And then the Bible says that the ground, I think in chapter 6, it said the earth would not be cursed. But we still get thorns and thistles growing. You know, you still have to plant. You still have to get out and weed your garden. You can't just plant a row of corn and it just, man, that's the most perfect corn I've ever seen in my life. No, that you got to get out there and get the weeds out and all that. But it's not as difficult, apparently, as it was during the time of Adam. We don't know, obviously, because we weren't there. But apparently there was some change. Are you with me here? So we see that authority is still in the earth. Now the purpose of redemption, and I'm going to have to close here because it's already 8:30, is really the restoration of God's authority over his creation. Say the purpose of redemption is to restore God's authority over his creation. This is why, notice the message that John the Baptist and Jesus preached. What was the message that John preached? Repent, for the what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, have you ever thought about what he meant by the kingdom of God? When you hear the word kingdom, what do you think of? Rulership. You think of an empire. Or you think of God establishing his rule on earth. Right? So Jesus said the same thing after he came down in Matthew. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So God, Jesus and John the Baptist and Jesus' message was that God has now invaded the earth to reestablish his rule on earth again as he did with Adam and with Eve. And now we know also in Matthew 6:33, a passage, and we're going to end with this. So let's go to Matthew 6:33. We all know this. Many of us have memorized this, but maybe didn't see it in this way. But he says, but seek first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let me say what this passage is implying here. Seek to be submitted to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything that he promised you will be given or added to you. So the goal now is that we submit to the rule, the authority, and the kingdom of God so that we can now live like he intended us to live in relationship with him, so that he can also provide for us because we're now subjects of his kingdom. Are you with me here? So that's where we're going to keep going. You know, obviously we're going to have to unplug it. It's after 8:30, so we'll pick up there. But to keep that in mind, think about 6:33 in that context. Because so many times when I used to read 6:33, only thing I used to see is, and all these things shall be added to you. If you seek first the kingdom of God, well, I'm saved. And so all these things are going to be added to me because I'm saved. But it's more than that. You have to seek to be ruled by his kingdom. That means everything he says, you do. You don't get to say, well, can we have a meeting about that? I want to call a board meeting. I object to that. No, you don't get no objections. You have to do what he says. And the thing about Jesus says, but his commandments are not grievous. In other words, it's for your own good. It's not for his good. God doesn't need us. He's self-sufficient. But we need him. And he knows we need him, and he also knows we need a lot of other stuff. So that's why he tells you, don't do the things I tell you not to do, because it'll lead you in trouble. It'll get you in trouble. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to close. Anybody, if you have prayer needs, we want to pray. Whatever it is, we just want to thank God for all that he does for us. He's so faithful. He's so good. He teaches us so much, and we just learn so much from him. So we just want to be thankful to God in everything we do. So if you have a prayer request, come up, and we'll pray for you. Otherwise, we're going to dismiss. Of course, as always, there's snacks back there. So, Father, we thank you for this message on submission, because, Lord, we know all of us need to submit. We need to submit to you. We need to submit to in our relationships with people on earth. We need to submit to one another. And Lord God, we just want you to teach us what it means to submit to you, and also help us to take that into the context of our other relationships. And Lord, we know that you don't need us, but we thank you that you want us and that you have come to reestablish your relationship with us. So thank you, Father, for giving us that high position that we really don't deserve. But because of your mercy, because of your love, because of your grace, we can be called your sons, your daughters, and your friends. We thank you that you're with us always. Help us to know that you're with us always. And help us to act like you're with us always. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. God bless you. And go get some refreshments. Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.